You know, I was thinking about the mind and what Brother John and Brother Emil was saying. The mind is really the battlefield of the enemy. And what Peter is saying here is, who are you going to believe? And what are you going to believe? Are we going to believe, young people, that, as Brother Emil say, things just in some strange kind of way came together and this is why we're here? And everything that you see in the surrounding world about us somehow is the result of just some haphazard coincidence. But God is saying to us, because we forget, we are apt to not have it in the front of our minds, that God has spoken. God has made these great, precious promises to us. And sometimes we forget because these things get clouded out because of our daily lives, because we're just so occupied with what we're going to do today and the next year and the five-year plan and all these kinds of things, that when the scoffers come, our minds have been so blurred because we've been taking in everything that's in the world around us and the culture, that we need to be brought back to the reality of God's word. Because if we're going to be real, then we have to have the reality of the word in our hearts and our souls. That is why he is stirring, as it were, our pure minds by way of remembrance. It is there. We learned it from, you know, from Sunday school as children in our homes, that the Lord is coming, that we're going to be leaving this wicked world. But somehow we push it to the back because we've got priorities. And he's saying, let me tell you, be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets. These aren't just prophets. These men were set apart, called by God for a specific service to tell to the people the mind of God. And before there was the canonized word of God, written word, these men spoke. God put it in their minds and he said, this is what God said. There is a coming Savior. There is a coming kingdom. You go to the Old Testament and the book of the prophets and the minor prophets. They all speak of the coming of the Savior. They speak of his glorious coming kingdom. And he says, and of the commandment of us, the apostles. So remember in the previous chapter, there were the false prophets of old. And then the false prophets of today. Well, there were true prophets in the days of Elijah, like Elijah was a prophet. And there were the apostles that God, that the Lord called. And by commandment, he gave to them these truths, that I am coming again. So how is that going to impact me, young people? Well, I should always be moving about in light of the reality that the Lord could come at this moment. And so what I'm occupied with, what my thoughts are, my plans, should all be centered around the fact that the Lord himself shall descend.
Just to underscore that, I was curious about the phrase, your sincere mind, in verse 1. Mm-hmm. And I have a note here that's a cross-reference to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. And in that context, Peter is talking as well about the prophets of old. Verse 12 says, it was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves but you in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. Verse 13 says, therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So that word sincere, or some translations have pure, either way, the thought is that you're fully committed to something. Pure means there's nothing mixed in, and sincere means you stand fully behind it. What Peter is trying to help us see is that our minds need to be, our thoughts need to be fully committed to the thought, or to the idea that our hope is in Christ's return and not on anything else. And that's what he's trying to reach. That's what he's trying to stir up.
I'm just wondering if I can make a practical observation to apply it to us as far as this word stirring up and the thought of remembrance. And you weigh it before the Lord. Approximately, there are now four times that Peter reminds us or brings that thought of remembrance. But I want you to take hold of it. They are not always the same thing. So he's providing us with the four anchors so that you and I can be founded on firm foundation. In the chapter one, there are three of them. But the first remembrance is that he wants us to take hold of the truth. That's what, in a practical way, the desire of the brethren is that you and I, especially the younger generation, will take hold of the truth that is able to establish us. That's the first remembrance. The second remembrance that you have to understand, in the same way Peter was addressing the saints, is that he tells them that I will soon put my tabernacle, this tabernacle will be gone. So the second thing that I would love you to take hold of, out of such a conference, that soon the Lord might take some of us home. It can never always, because God is not relying on an arm of a man. Men will be set aside. So the second thing that you have to understand, that in the second remembrance, is that you have to keep in mind that men will be set aside. Apostolic authority will not be there. The third remembrance. He brings before us the thought of, okay, after the departure of the apostles, how are we going to take hold and live this truth that is before us? So what's going to happen 10 years from now with you, if the Lord will keep us here? We've been sitting in a conference like this, and many of you have been participating, and thank the Lord for it. But what is it to you 10 years from now of all the things we have learned today, of all the truth that we have enjoyed together? And that's what the Apostle Peter is impressing upon them, is that after my departure, what are you going to do? How are you going to live out the truth? How are you going to hold fast the truth? And the fourth remembrance is that we do these things in the light of his coming. That's why the fourth anchor, he brings upon them the thought of his coming. Listen, we have to have the coming of the Lord a reality in my life. It's not only words. It's not only a song in the hymn book, Lord Jesus come. Although that coming goes beyond the rapture, it is in relationship to when he comes and reigns supreme. But this is why we do things. We trust that God would raise among this wonderful young generation faithful men and women, because that faithfulness will be compensated in that world to come. So these are the four remembrances that Peter is impressing upon the saints. And I hope that in a practical way, in relationship to you and me, that you can take it to us, that he wants us to take hold of the truth. He wants us to end up this mentality to put our hopes in men, because every man will be set aside. That after these wonderful brethren that have taught us and cared for us, how are we going to live that truth out? And fourthly, the fourth anchor, never lose sight that everything we do it in the light of his coming, and he is faithful and just.